Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're gonna start a new life under the sea.
So, am I gonna drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, kicking back in the Florida Keys today. I'll tell you what, I've been traveling like crazy, and I ain't complaining. It is not bad to be me. Because last week, you may have heard that we were broadcasting from the deck of the Explorer Ventures Liveaboard in the Bahamas. And from there, I had a couple days downtime in Orlando, Florida, and then popped down to the Florida Keys to experience my first few days of Florida spiny lobster season. First opportunity I've had the chance to go down and snag some lobster for myself and basically be the lobster slayer once again. Yes, it is that time of year. August 8th is when Florida spiny lobster season opened, and this was the first opportunity I've had to come down and partake in the fever, the lobster fever. And so we are coming to you live from the Florida Keys today. We're actually in Marathon, mile marker 53 at Captain Hook's Dive Center in Marina. And along with me for the ride, for the adventure, no mermaids once again. You know, last week we were in the Bahamas, and we didn't have any mermaids with us then. It was a guy's, Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. But we met some great folks on board, and this week it was more of the same. Single Scott kind of stepped up to the plate and played mermaid on our liveaboard last week.
That's frightening.
Yes. Well, you know, the economic downturn has affected all folks, including Scuba Radio.
Okay, this is not the Great Depression. I mean, that's the step down you've made here. Well, in fact, that's almost Armageddon.
Are you saying you've seen the pictures?
No, but I'm imagining them.
Oh, they can't be much better, I'm sure. but here in the Keys, I got James and CJ. Jimmy the Helper Boy and CJ is
actually,
with
you know
me.
What? This... Jimmy the Helper Boy makes a pretty decent-looking woman. So I think you may have stepped up rather dramatically.
Thank you, Bill. You know, thank you very much.
I don't think you really were supposed to congratulate or thank him for that. But what I guess, I don't know. You were close to Key West. I guess that would be an appropriate response.
I guess all that waxing paid off.
Wax on, wax off.
Wow.
That's what I always say.
All right, so no mermaids, but we got James and CJ here to fill in. And the reason is they came along. They wanted to do a little lobster hunting. They've had some experience last year. We went out and did some. But this was the first real opportunity we've had to come down here and do this in the Keys. They've never been to Key West or the Keys, period. Key Largo South, right?
Well, you can't say that anymore.
Not anymore. Now they have. Bill?
Well, now, to be fair, I mean, let's give a little defense. I mean, a lot of people haven't been to Key West. I mean, and people like CJ and James that live so far away. Where are they from? Like Utah, Colorado, something like that, right? Oh, no,
Orlando,
they're from
Florida.
Central Florida, aren't they?
Exactly. Yes,
yeah,
they
morons.
Have no excuse.
Inglorious bastards.
Bill. Yes, Bill, my friend. We miss you, Bill. Wish you were here.
Yeah. So, CJ, James, both of you, so far what you've seen down here in the Keys, are you kind of kicking yourself like, why did we wait so long before coming down here?
Definitely. This place is like diving heaven, fishing heaven. It's got everything. No matter what you want to do, on the water, in the water, It's awesome.
Yeah, you know, you guys actually have been to the Bahamas. We did a trip to the Bahamas, and obviously you got to hop on a plane, and there's not to knock going to the Bahamas or any Caribbean destination like that. But, you know, you get an island feel down here in the Keys, and you don't have to go through the hassle of any air travel.
I was going to say, yeah, it's like the Bahamas with no passport.
Yeah, it is. It really is like going to an island. You still get that island feel, and that's part of the beauty of going to the Keys. And you know, I've done this many, many times over the years, and I always love bringing folks like CJ and James along for their first experience. Now, we haven't went down and did the big blowout down on Duval Street. I mean, the first night, you know, I had them parade up and down there with just wearing a sock just so they could feel more comfortable and fit in with the local crowd down here in Key West.
But, just like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
We did that. We had some excellent Cuban food.
Yes, we did. Indeed.
Yeah, a little sample.
Yeah, and but it's we haven't done the whole Duval crawl. We have not done the what'd you say?
My sock had a hole in it.
Oh boy.
Yeah, they're supposed to, otherwise you can't get your feet in.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Thank goodness we didn't have a camera for that one either, actually. But it was, you know, we're going to do the Duval crawl here in another either tonight or tomorrow night. So look out, Key West. But, you know, diving here in Marathon and in Key West is really good. Now, I've been up there in Key Largo many times before. We're actually in the Southern Keys this time. So we're just about an hour north of Key West here in Marathon. The diving here, really, really good. And obviously, lobster season just opened. And we saw quite a few lobsters the last couple days. And CJ backed me up because James had a little bit of an ear problem, so he wasn't able to go down on all the dives. But has the Lobster Slayer lived up to the myth so far?
Yeah, you know, man, you're looping them and bagging them.
Looping them.
I got to say,
a looper.
You are a looper. You're loopy and a looper.
Yeah, you can get up to 6 lobster a day. Now, we haven't come close to limiting out or anything.
I'm going to make up for it tomorrow.
We're going out again tomorrow with Captain Marlon Scott down there in the Keys.
Oh, yeah.
And he is the man for finding the lobster. And every lobster we did see, I was able to snag. So the first day we went out, I got to say, I felt a little rusty. And because the place we went, these lobsters were up under the ledges. And, I'm a looper. I'm not a tickler and a netter, which is, you know, you can tickle stick them and use a net to catch your lobster, or you can use a lobster snare here in Florida, and that's what I prefer.
And much like Jimmy's rules of dating, you leave the pregnant ones alone.
Yes. I never looked at it like that, but that is kind of a rule of thumb that you could follow that would keep you out of legal jeopardy here in with Florida Marine Patrol. Because, yeah, you can't catch egg-bearing lobsters. You got to leave them alone. You can't get shorts. They got to be at least 3 inches at the carapace, which is the body, the hard body of the lobster. You know, the body part. What are you looking at?
You know what else is cool? Did you see, speaking of large body parts, did you see the size of that green moray?
Yes.
Huge. I swam around the one side, and I saw the tail sticking out. You were on the other side, and you gave me the signal.
End.
Yeah. And you said, yeah, eel. I said, yeah, I know. I saw the tail.
Yeah, but, you know, they don't bother you. You know, you got to be a little bit more careful when you're lobster hunting, because if you catch a lobster, you do have the potential to stir up the interest of an eel or a nurse shark, for instance. And they will get curious, and they could get a little bit more aggressive. But you know what? That's some of the risk that you take partaking in the activity. And if it comes down to a situation where a nurse shark or an eel has some interest in my lobster, if I have lobster in my bag, guess what? He's getting it, because I ain't going to fight him over it.
That's right. Don't get between Greg and his lobster.
Yeah, now there's spearfishermen and other hunters will tell you, no, don't ever, you fight them off. I'm like, hey, I'm not that gung-ho to have the lobster. You know, I'm not going to jeopardize myself getting bit. But,
or
hey,
gung-ho.
Or gung-ho either. But if
gung-ho?
You... Huh?
That's a gung-ho is an entirely different thing.
Okay. Well, why? Because I prefer a snare?
No, the gung-hos are the girls that model with the...
The guns.
Yeah, with guns.
With the big guns. Thank you, James.
Okay. Well, maybe, CJ. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is that you got to be careful, or you just got to assume that risk. And honestly, I've never in all my years of doing it have ever had a problem with a shark or an eel when I'm lobstering or not. So you know.
Greg also gives the Sharks his lunch money too.
Yeah, exactly. If they're gonna, you know, they're gonna bully me, I'm gonna let them have it. They can have it. So we've been partaking in this Florida lobster experience. It's truly a magical time if you're into that kind of thing. And if you've never done it, you know, some people think like, oh, I don't really like hunting and that kind of thing. I can't believe that if you are a diver and you have tried this, that you wouldn't instantly think it was one of the coolest things you could do as a diver. CJ, back me up.
That's what happens.
That's exactly what happens. You can't really explain it, I think, fairly until you've actually done it. And I know, like, people don't like, you know, molesting marine life. It's not like that at all. This is you go and you catch these lobsters and you catch them for yourself. It's a very selective way to hunt and to feed yourself and to get lobster. And you can actually pick and choose and be very selective on what animal you take. And I think it's a very responsible and it's actually a very green way to go about, feeding yourself.
It's better than
going to the market and picking up these animals
or
getting them at a restaurant.
And delicious.
Fresh and delicious. It's nothing like when you catch your own lobster and then take it back home, grill it up, and have that dinner. It will be the best lobster dinner you have ever had.
Can't grill them till you kill them.
Even if you've burnt them, you'll still like it so much better than what you had at the restaurant or something.
Have you burned them?
No. I would never do such a thing. I'm too good at that. That's the one thing I can do. I can clean, and I can cook a lobster.
I've had plenty of practice.
Yes, and and it's something you never get bored with. It's a lot of fun, indeed. So we got to talk about some techniques on what to do, on where to go, and that kind of thing. We have Captain Morgan with us, and that's not because it's a typical Scuba Radio happy hour. It's because there's actually a Captain Morgan here at Captain Hook's Dive Center and Marina that runs the boat. And I don't know, Captain Morgan, do you actually prefer Captain Morgan when you're not boating or you're not captaining the boat, or do you not really like that particular beverage?
No, I like the beverage. I just, don't care if I'm using my name without my permission.
Well, exactly. It's a whole royalty thing that it kind of irks you.
It is, yes.
And when you look at Captain Morgan, he's not the kind of guy you'd want to irk. You hear what I'm saying? He looks like you work out a little bit.
I do, yes.
Yeah. So he could put a hurting on you. Let me put it that way, if you had a disagreement with Captain Morgan. But that's what you would want in a captain, somebody who's, built and ready to, take on any potential problem, whether it's pirates or whatever, when you're out here off the coast of Marathon, I'm guessing, right?
Usually things in the dive boat are a little more low-key than that.
Yeah, you just have to worry about getting them to the site and making sure everyone gets back on the boat and everyone's safe.
Doesn't usually come to that.
Yeah, but you might have to lift up a heavy diver or two every once in a while after a long surface swim, maybe.
That happens.
That comes in handy. That extra working out helps out.
Yes, it does.
All right, cool. We're going to hang out with Captain Morgan, and then we'll have this guy on the air, too. Over the next couple hours, we talk about lobsters and more from Marathon in the Florida Keys. It's the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks to Kelly and Carla, the Brazilian swimsuit models, today I consider myself the luckiest open water scuba diver student on the face of the earth. Thank you.
So, tell me true, are you guys for scuba?
What does that mean?
I'm like the unofficial scuba king of St. Bart. So, if you are for scuba, I take you out on the boat, I show you the coral reef, and we have kind of like a scuba party.
You know, that sounds great, but we're not certified, so we're going to have to pass.
That is no biggie. I get a resort certified, couple of hours.
Huh. I have always wanted to try it.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
All right, I am. hanging out in the Florida Keys with Captain Morgan. What makes that any different from any other edition of Scuba Radio? Well, this Captain Morgan actually exists in the flesh as opposed to liquid form. Captain Morgan from Captain Hook's Dive Center here in Marathon, the heart of the Florida Keys, is with us. Hey, Captain, are you having fun, by the way, hanging out? Is this a typical Saturday afternoon for you?
No, this is better than most.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
Now they just brought some bait over, and one of the workers is throwing some food or squid or something into this makeshift cement pond out in front of Captain Hook's Dive Center in Marathon. This thing is like a landmark in the area, and it's been here for years. These tarpon and fish you guys have in this
little... Yes, the pond has been here since before I was here.
All right, so it's the Captain Hook's Pond.
Yes, it is.
And people have come out here for years and watched the fish feeds for a couple of years. And what's in there? You got tarpon, all kinds
of critters. There's sharks, there's grouper, a couple of lobster.
And are these things that have come in, or are they being rehabilitated, or have they just grown up in the pond, or what's going on exactly with this?
Some have been here longer than others. Some of them a charter captain might catch and throw in there, and you know, they keep them, and people can come see them.
Okay.
They feed them every day at 4 o'clock.
All right, so 4 o'clock, if you're down in Marathon, it's a cool little attraction that they have here at Captain Hook's. And I remember that last time. My kids were down here. They really enjoyed checking out the nurse sharks and things they had in there. So, and it's kind of cool for a diver to walk by the pond on the way to the dive boat and take a look at what they might see out on the reef here in a little while. That's kind of cool,
That's
huh?
Right, yeah.
Now, what about the dive sites here in Marathon? Last time I was here, I think it was about a year and a half ago thereabouts, or just a little bit over a year, and we dove the Thunderbolt and did a little lobstering. The Thunderbolt, big wreck site here off of Marathon, right?
Yes.
And that's about how long of a boat ride is that?
It's about a 20-minute ride right from here on the Reef Hopper. It's right outside the reef line right off Marathon.
Okay, and that's been down how long?
That's been down since 1986. It was sunk as a dive site, former military vessel, 188 feet in length.
Okay, so it's a nice, good-sized wreck that's been down for many years, has lots of growth
plenty
on it.
Plenty of growth, plenty of fish.
Cool stuff to see. My mind is so fuzzy, I can't remember what happened yesterday. You know what I'm saying? And I don't remember what we saw there on the Thunderbolt, other than I remember that it was a pretty cool wreck dive. But is there anything in particular that stands out on that wreck that makes it so popular in this area?
There are some extremely large goliath grouper on the wreck pretty regularly. Schools of amberjack, a lot of big barracuda hang out near the wheelhouse, large grouper.
Nice. So the large grouper, jewfish, well, I mean, goliath grouper, like you said, they're fairly common there?
Yes, they are.
All right. How big are we talking on the goliath groupers?
Like a Volkswagen.
Nice.
Yeah,
all right, so
very large.
Cool stuff. And then, of course, right now you are taking people out to sites where they can, look for lobster. I think we did. Was it Sombrero or what is it?
Probably not lobstering at Sombrero, but we're doing lobstering now this time of year. We're out this morning. They picked up a few, so it's been very good for the recreational lobstermen.
Yeah, just go out there and grab a couple, but have a nice little reef dive on top of things.
That's
and
right.
If you catch a lobster or two, that's like icing on the cake.
So much the better.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite site yourself as a captain here in the area?
I do think the Thunderbolt is one of the nicer dives we have in the area. Sombrero is a beautiful reef. Coffin's Patch is another real nice one. Anywhere up and down the main reef line here is just great.
Yeah, no way. Obviously, the Vandenberg's been getting a lot of press here lately down in Key West. Is that helping you guys a little bit for people on the way down there, stopping off, maybe doing a couple dives with you and then heading down that way?
I would imagine it would. Anything that brings more people into the Keys is definitely a help to everybody.
Sure. Have you been down there to see that thing yet?
I haven't been there myself yet, no.
All right. Well, we headed down there a couple days ago. We're going to give you a full report of that in a little while. And as well as next week on the big show. But I got to say, Captain Morgan, you guys run a fine dive operation.
Thank you very much.
And we may actually go out with these folks again real soon. Captain Hook's Dive
Center.
Anytime
you'd like
to go. You got it. Well, there, Captain Morgan, we're not going to dive with him, but we're going to drink with him. And I think we get a discount on a certain type of beverage when we take him to a bar. We'll find out. Yeah, all right, cool. More coming up from the Keys.
Thank you.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba. Scuba Radio.
We
started producing scuba radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportwear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportwear has pretty much been our supplier for scuba radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com.
First radio show devoted to diving. We're at Captain Hook's Dive Center Marina in Marathon, the heart of the Florida Keys. I'm hanging out with CJ and James here on the dock, by the way. We're literally overlooking the water, and we're going to talk to Bob Rooney, who runs this operation here at Captain Hook's, who just a month ago, this is the site literally that we're looking out over the causeway here at Vaca Cut, where they had a whale shark just hanging out here for like a month. Just cruising up and down here, and they were snorkeling with the thing, and I guess he was like 20, 25 feet long. So we're going to get a report on what that whole shindig was all about and why the whale shark decided to camp out for a few weeks. I don't know, maybe summer vacation, I'm guessing. What do you think there, CJ?
Dude, Marathon is a magical place, and that's what happens.
Yeah,
anything can show up.
Anything could show up. It could be a whale shark today. It could be a manta another. You just never know what you might encounter here.
You got to get down to Marathon and then get down in the water.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Now, you, this is your first time in the Florida Keys.
And it will not be my last.
It will not be your last. You have no excuse, really. You live in Orlando. You're on about a five-hour drive from the top of the Keys and then another couple hours down there all the way down to the Key West. But yeah, this is your first time, first experience down here. You know, the conditions overall, you can get quite a wide variety of the diving, but generally for people who haven't been to the Keys or compare it to like, you know, West Palm Beach or Jupiter if you're in Florida, the reefs are deeper there than they are here in the Keys. You can literally be diving a really cool reef here in the Keys in 15 feet of water. That's what makes it very unique and easy type. An easy type of dive experience down here in the Keys is because it is so shallow. You can get bottom times for an hour and a half, 2 hours as long as you're...
I mean, I think we've done all kinds of... We've done 10, 15, 20, 30, 40. We've only been here a couple of days. We've done it all.
Yeah, and you can do deeper wrecks. They do have the wrecks, but the reef in particular, it can be very shallow here in this part of Florida, which can really lend itself to very long bottom times, which is what we want as divers, obviously, is to stay down as long as we can, and the lesser or the shallower the depths you are, the longer you can stay underwater. But it also lends itself to great lobstering because finding them is the key. We'll talk about that next.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You know, I don't have to tell you folks about scuba diving. So that'll save some time.
I love all the fishies, all the sharkies too. When I see one come towards me, I swim like you. I love all the friends down there. Hey, don't you know? There's a I'm the very popular Jacques Cousteau.
Yes, you can dive with me here in the Florida Keys tomorrow. We're not diving today. We're just kicking back here on the docks of Captain Hook's Dive Center, mile marker 53 in Marathon, the heart of the Florida Keys. Hanging out with CJ and James, first time diving in the Keys for them. And, you know, we're just talking a little bit about the dive experience you can have down here. And the beautiful thing, once again, about the Keys is the shallow depths of the reef. I mean, unlike some other places in Florida, you usually have to go a little bit further offshore, or not even necessarily farther offshore, but the reefs are usually generally deeper. And so you're more in the 60 to 70 foot range before you get into good reef structure. Generally, like in West Palm, Jupiter, it's on the deeper side, and then it gets a little shallower in places like in Fort Lauderdale and South Florida. But here in the Keys, you can really be shallow. You can be in 10, 15 feet of water and be surrounded just by a pristine reef structure, and obviously perfect habitat for lobstering. And, you know, because the water is so shallow, you can get a ton of bottom time. And as I've said many times before, is that when it comes to lobster hunting, what the problem is, or what the real issue is, and it's going to be hard for me to maintain focus. You see what's pulling up in that boat over there, guys? Oh, my God. See, this is the typical type of distraction that we get when we are on a dock in a marina in the Florida Keys, but I'll try to focus.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
No, I didn't.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Oh, crap.
Golly. It's scary.
Sorry.
It's a beautiful thing. Let the parade begin. But, you know, you know, it's shallow. And so what the problem with lobster hunting is finding the lobsters, not necessarily catching them. The technique, whether you're using a looper or a tickle stick and a net, it's really about finding the lobsters and going to an area where the lobsters hang out. And a lot of times you can cover a lot of ground and you will not see them because you're just not hitting them in the right spot. You're not in the right depth, the right area, whatever the case may be. So having the flexibility to be in a shallow water situation here in the Keys, you can get a lot of bottom time and cover a lot of ground, and usually have a much, you know, increase your odds of finding the lobster so you can have a chance to get them, to snag them. Now, and that's what you got to love about the Florida Keys, but you know, because of how it's structured with the shallow reefs and the lobster like that.
So, yesterday we were so shallow, I noticed we were kicking along down the white sand and playing in the reefs, and when the sun hits that white sand, just dancing.
Yes.
You know, just like you're in a pool.
It is. Well, I mean, you're so shallow, yeah, you get a lot of sunlight, and it can really look quite beautiful underwater.
Awesome.
So, you know, the sun definitely helps on a lot of levels, if nothing else, just from the aesthetics of the underwater experience for sure. Now, not only the shallow depths, you know, make a difference or a big factor down here in the Keys, it's also your technique. Now, like I said, I'd say at least 75% of the challenge is finding out where the lobsters are. The other 25% is literally catching them. You have a couple techniques. We'll talk about them next.
Scuba Radio.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Scuba Radio, Diver's Consumer Tip number 78. A diver snagged on a coral reef is said to be, get this,
okay,
hooked on reefer.
What? Oh, you guys are retarded.
I'm here till Thursday. Try the shrimp scampi. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Jeff Myers, the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. What are we talking about today, Jeff?
Emergency assistance plans.
Not only a good idea, but a key part to any dive plan.
You said it. No dive preparation can be considered complete without it, because, as we all know,
an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
So what is an emergency assistance plan?
An emergency assistance plan is essentially essentially the thinking through of what your actions will be in the event of an emergency.
Because you won't have the time to think about it if the poo actually hits the fan.
Exactly.
Took the words right out of your mouth again, didn't I?
Well, I may not have used those actual words, but the sentiment was right on. An emergency is not the time to start thinking about what your response will be. You need to be prepared to act if you're called to do so.
So what goes into an emergency assistance plan?
At the very least, it should contain emergency contact information and phone numbers, and it should include information specific to the dive site. For any location you're diving, you should know where emergency services are located, how to activate them, what kind of response time is involved, and what, if any, additional assistance you can expect. You need to know where the nearest medical facility is located. If you're unfamiliar with the site, a few well-placed calls prior to your arrival can answer these questions.
What if you're diving a location with an established operation?
Know their procedures. Find out what emergency equipment they have on hand and supplement what's necessary. Ask them what role you may or may not have to play or what site-specific factors you may need to take into consideration.
For example,
is the dive site accessible to emergency vehicles? Are there medical facilities nearby? Are there medically or emergency trained people on staff? That sort of thing. But regardless of what support you're expecting a dive operator to provide, you should still prepare a thorough enough plan that you can be self-sufficient if need be.
What else?
If there's any information that could be important should the injured diver be unable to provide it, such as medical conditions or any medications being taken, it should be included in the plan.
What about the means of calling for help itself?
An excellent point. Make sure you know how you're going to call for help if you need to. We've all become pretty reliant on cell phones these days, but don't assume yours will work on a dive site. Many sites are remote enough that cell signals become unreliable, so either make sure yours will work or find out where the nearest phone is located in case you need it. If you're in an especially remote location, you may want to consider taking a satellite phone along.
What about first aid information? I know I like to have information to reference in case I feel like I'm forgetting something, especially when the adrenaline is running.
That's a great idea. Any emergency assistance plan should include basic first aid information that can serve as a reference for anyone who may have to render assistance.
How about emergency equipment?
A good plan will include a checklist of emergency equipment, along with a notation of whether the equipment is being supplied by the individual diver or the dive site operator.
So, for example, if you're relying on the site operator or dive leader to supply the oxygen unit.
Know where it is and ask to see it to confirm that it's in working order.
What else?
Make sure your plan is written down and legible. Having the information doesn't do anyone any good if you can't read it.
What about sharing it?
Absolutely. Even though every diver should create his or her own plan, make sure you share yours with everyone diving with you. Let them know where the plan is located and what it contains. Ask them to share theirs with you, too.
How often do you need to update emergency assistance plans?
Ideally, you'll double-check the information prior to every visit to a particular dive site. But realistically, many of us have sites we dive repeatedly throughout a given season. So in that case, at least once a year. Contact numbers and procedures do change, so don't ever assume that the information you have is current. Make sure it is.
Because when we assume...
We all know what happens when we assume. No need to go there.
I gotta be honest. Emergency assistance plans seem like a lot of work to put together.
They don't have to be. Even just the basics take only a few minutes to gather, and as some information stays the same from site to site, like your personal information and the number to the Dan hotline, many times you need to freshen only those parts of the plan specific to a given site.
You can probably just create a blank one on the computer and fill it in.
Absolutely, and that's a great way to go. That way you know exactly what elements you need to cover, and once you've got a good format ready to go, you're halfway home. You can even find sample emergency assistance plans and training manuals and other dive techs to help you get started.
It sounds easy.
It is easy, and well worth the time.
Sounds like a plan. Emergencies are a time of action, so be prepared to take it. Spend a few minutes before you head out to familiarize yourself with where you're going and what you'll do if you run into trouble. A few basic facts can make a lot of difference, so take time to generate an emergency assistance plan as part of your dive preparation. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back in the Florida Keys, the heart of the Florida Keys Marathon, to be exact. We're going to talk about the techniques that you can use to go Florida spiny lobster season. We're talking about whether you use them as a snare or tickle stick and net. But before we get to that, I have Ann, who is part of the Florida Radio Network down here in the Florida Keys. Keys Radio Group that carries the world of boating throughout the Florida Keys. And she does a show with Scott. And Scuba Radio, absolutely. And she hangs out here all the time, Monday through Friday, doing her show. And Ann, I know you have a lot of stuff that you cover here for Marathon, not just being on the radio, but kind of as an ambassador of news and information for Marathon and the surrounding area, right?
Among other things.
Among other things.
Actually,
she's like involved with all this stuff. And
she's everywhere. She's everywhere.
You can't get away. You just can't. You wouldn't want to, really. She's a nice lady. And Ann, what is the story with the School of Diving that you guys have down here
let
now?
Let me tell you, I'm very proud, if I can be proud. I'm not that kind of a person, but I was just recently appointed by the governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, to the Board of Trustees of Florida Keys Community College.
Nice.
Soon to be renamed on September 15th, the College of the Florida Keys. And, Greg, what we have here, I mean, you've been experiencing this beautiful environment we have, this wonderful area for diving and just for being underwater and on the water. And Florida Keys Community College was actually bequeathed back in the spring $1 million from the estate of James E. Lockwood, their foundation, to develop what we call today the James E. Lockwood Jr. School of Diving and Underwater Technology. And we like to think that it's probably the only school of its kind throughout the country, if not the world, and it's right here in the fabulous Florida Keys.
All right, well, hold on. Hold that thought. We will take a break and learn more about this and how you can get involved and maybe even support this cause. Sounds like a pretty cool thing to me. Well, we're coming back to you with more from the Keys next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com.
She said, is that a moray in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? As she looked down by my wake belt, it kind of made me blush. Is that a moray in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? And I have to admit, I got excited a bit when she showed me her octopus.
And welcome back to the world of Scuba Radio. The world of Scuba Radio. Maybe that's what it is right now.
The great wide world of Scuba Radio.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're actually in the heart of the Florida Keys. Marathon would be the location.
Mile
Ann
marker
is with
53.
Us right now. Yep, Captain Hook's Dive Center and Marina. Now, Ann is with us. She is the woman in the know. She's part of, basically, she runs the place down here. Isn't that how it is?
Well, you know, I do a lot, but
okay,
it's fun.
But they got a new, well, it's not new, but they just renamed the college down here.
One of the schools of the college.
Yeah.
The School of Diving and Underwater Technology. They were just dedicated to James E. Lockwood, Jr., whom I mentioned earlier, a $1 million bequest from him. And he was actually an early developer of rebreathers and underwater photography.
Yeah, he had a lot to do with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, he did.
Developing
yeah.
some of the underwater props and things.
That's
I read.
Right. He did all that. You're a quick study, Greg.
I can read.
Yeah, isn't it good? We have to do that on radio, don't we? We have to do that on radio.
Some people find that hard to believe that I actually do, but I, there were a lot more pictures than words, so I said, what the heck, I'll read it.
Oh, that's all
but, right. But, yeah, so he did this, and so they
anyway,
developed
we got
school.
$1 million, so what's going to happen is that the Florida Keys Community College, we have currently we're expanding the Associate of Arts degree in Marine and Aquatic Biology and also an Associate in Science in Marine Environmental Technology, and looking forward to hopefully in 2011 a Bachelor's degree in Marine and Aquatic Biology. But taking that, because this is a radio show dedicated, in fact, to diving,
right?
Whether it could be commercial or recreational or whatever, this gift is also going to allow the Florida Keys Community College, soon to be known as College of the Florida Keys, an associate's degree in science a degree in diving and business technology. So
wow.
Dive business, diving itself. It can be also, there'll be a recreational track of the AS degree in diving business. And also you'll have the opportunity to complete package, or yeah, right, I can't read today, I'm worse than you are, to complete your basic scuba, or as far as advanced diving, which would be, don't laugh at me, advanced diving in public safety, research diving, emergency dive medicine, and also be qualified to work as dive technicians for research programs, underwater inspection, and I gotta go, don't I?
Yeah, well, we're running out of time for this hour, but basically they do everything.
Everything. Come on down and go to school here. What a beautiful
environment.
See, if
I would have went to school, I could have actually made something with my life, but it came out too late. But God, you know,
well, you can still, you can come here and go to school.
No, I'm way too old for that.
No, no.
I'd have to read.
If I'm not too old, you're not.
All right. Hour two on deck from the Florida Keys. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the Internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.